Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house. I trust that you've sensed the presence of the Lord in this place. And now we're looking to get into the precious Word of God, the Bible, what God has preserved for us to know the very mind of God. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. We'll be reading verse 1 down to chapter 6 and verse 5. 1 Samuel. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Right before this, we find that Eli the priest, his two sons, had led Israel astray and caused Israel to live in sin. And so God had judged them because of their sin. And as God judged them, He allowed the Philistines to win a great battle. They come together, Israel and the Philistines, and had a great massive battle. And the Philistines won the battle. And as they won the battle, they took the Ark of the Lord. And that's where we're at in chapter 5. And so 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. When they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and He destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for His hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And He smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods. And the cry of the city went up to heaven. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. The Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to His place." And they said, "If you send away the ark of the Lord of Israel, God of Israel, and send it not empty, but in any wise return Him a trespass offering, then ye shall be healed. And it shall be known to you why His hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall the trespass offering which we shall return to Him?" And they answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and your lords. And then verse 5, "Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land. And ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure, He will lighten His hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before You once again this morning, We do thank you for what we've already experienced in this place today, and thank you for each one that's come through the doors of this church. And God, I pray once again that as we've assembled here in this auditorium, that you meet with us. Give each one of us that ear to hear what you have for us. And Lord, help us not only to have a mind, but a heart to make whatever application necessary. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So now the Philistines have the Ark of God. Now, just so you remember, the Ark of God represented the very presence of God. It was in the holies of holies. It was in the tabernacle as they come over into the promised land. And once they would get established in the promised land, they would build a temple for the Ark of God. But this was Old Testament. This represented God's presence. God's presence. Now the Philistines had it. What the Philistines did with the presence of God or the Ark of God reveals a Philistine mentality, which I believe is a mentality that is very, very prevalent in our day and age today. Many have this. And I think that God has preserved this passage of Scripture. Now, this was a unique situation. The Ark of God is not ever revealed to be in any other place but in the place of Israel. Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament. They were to represent God to the rest of the world. God wanted the world to understand who He was. He was the only true God. And so He had Israel, called Israel out, and made them the children of God and the people of the Lord. And they were to represent God to the nation. And when they failed to do so in a right way, as they were at this time, because of the sins of the priest, then God would judge Israel. And as God was judging Israel, this one time He allowed the Philistines an opportunity to have the presence of God. What they did with the presence of God is a Philistine mentality. And so I believe this is a message that God would have for us today as we study this, what the Philistines did with the Ark of God, this Philistine mentality. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, we find that they believed it to be their trophy. They believed God to be their trophy. They won. Now, they were very familiar with Israel. They were very familiar, and if you study and read the rest of the chapter 6, you'll find that they were even warned, the Philistines were warned not to do what the Egyptians did in hardening their heart and what God did to the Egyptians. So they were very familiar with Israel and with Israel's God. It was the God that led them out of captivity, out of Egypt. It was the God that parted the Red Sea. It was a God that had given them the great victories over all the other lands. It had given them the victories of the promised land, the land of Canaan. The Philistines was very familiar with Israel and the victories that God, their God, had given to them. And so now they find themselves the victors. They don't realize that God used them, allowed them, raised them up to judge Israel. But they find themselves the victors, and now that they are the victors over Israel, they, in their own minds, we have a victory over Israel's God. And since we defeated Israel, now we have their God, and we're going to add their God to the rest of our gods, and He will serve us. He will be our trophy. Or, if you will, He will be our genie. A lot of people want to keep God in a little bottle, a little genie bottle. And when they have need of God, they want to bring God out. They want to rub the bottle and they say, "All right, genie, appear. Now this is what we want you to do. You serve us." This Philistine mentality, now that they have the presence of God, what will they do? And God's allowing us, He's written it down, preserved it for us, so we can see this mentality, realize that this mentality is not far from many people's mentality today concerning God. You're here to serve us. The Philistines had already chosen the kind of religion they wanted. They were idol worshipers. They had multiple gods. Dagon was their most powerful idol. But Dagon was an idol that they built. Dagon was a name that they gave to their god. They've already established, we're going to be idol worshipers. This is the kind of God we want, so let's build him. Let's call his name Dagon, and let's look to him as our god. One of their multiple gods, but he was their most powerful god. They had already chosen, this is how we're going to worship. This is the kind of religion that we are going to adopt as our religion. This mentality placed their will over God's will. Stop and think about that. How many say, no, we want God to fit into our lives. We don't want to fit into God's will and be what He wants us to be. We want to believe in a God. We want to have a form of religion. We want to have a form of godliness. We don't want to do everything God says to do. Let's just have a God so that we can keep Him. He's our trophy. He's our genie. And when there's a time for it, when I need Him, if I have need of problems, if I have some problems in my life, if I have need of this or have need of that, or especially when somebody gets sick or something, somebody gets hurt, or I need God to work for me, I'm going to pull Him out. I'm going to shake off the dust, rub the bottle, have Him appear and say, this is what I want you to do for me. Because you're our trophy. Amen. That's what they're doing. Philistine mentality. Place their will over God's will. The truth of it is, God does not serve us. They will soon find out that's not the kind of God that the true God is. He's not a God made of the hands of man. He's not an idol. He's a creator God. God does not serve us. We were created for His pleasure. We were created to serve Him, to worship Him, to love Him. God is not here to glorify man, but rather man is here to glorify God. Even in this 21st century, and if you missed out on Sunday school this morning, powerful series we're getting into here, and how the mentality that that early first century church had in turning the world upside down. And how that God would have this 21st century church to have the very same testimony that we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and we are still turning the world upside down. Man is not here to be glorified. God has not created man and placed him on the earth to glorify man, but God has created man and placed him here that we might glorify God. What passages that go right along with the mentality that God wants us to have, which is opposite from the mentality that the Philistines had. First verse is found at a very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans in chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. We find here the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Is my life and how I'm living, is it acceptable unto God? Or have I chosen this is how I'm going to live and I'm going to have God to come and work for me instead of me work for God? The Bible says, no, we're here to glorify God. So present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This mentality placed their will over God's will, and God says, your will needs to be replaced by my will for your life. And then you can have my blessings. And then you can have my power. And then you can have me watching over you. Praise the Lord for that. It's not glorifying man God is not looking to glorify man, but he has man to glorify him. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, again, we find this is the right kind of thinking. This is biblical thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 says this: "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now they had, this Philistines had this tremendous opportunity. You don't find this anywhere else in the Old Testament. The presence of God now in the camp of the Philistines. They have a tremendous opportunity to acknowledge God that they've already chosen their worship. They've already chosen how they're going to live their lives. And so when they bring God in, they're saying, he's a trophy. We defeated Israel, that means we must have defeated their God. And if we defeated their God, now he works for us. Some have this Philistine mentality. You serve me. I trust that's no one in here. But it is very prevalent in our day and age. Well, God made it clear he wasn't there to serve them. He was not an idol. He was not conjured up by man. He was not a God that would glorify man's lifestyle and however man wanted to live. He was the true God. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And when they of Ashdod arose early in the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen on his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again." God revealed himself, first of all, in a mild way, in just saying, "I'm not serving your God. I'm not serving you. Your gods have to bow down to me because they're not really gods. I am the true and the only God." Allowing them an opportunity to be in his presence. He revealed himself as God. But as most people do, they thought first it was just a coincidence that Dagon fell at the feet of the ark of the Lord. In their own minds, they might have been thinking, "No, we're not ready to accept the ark of God as he's a true God. Must have been an earthquake last night. We didn't feel it, but it must have been because that's what vibrated and Dagon fell over. It's just a coincidence that this happened." A lot of times God will work in somebody's life and he will do something to reveal himself. Because they still have not chosen to take advantage of how God is working in their lives, to acknowledge him as God. It's just a coincidence that this happened. Even today, sometimes a lost person will come into the church and they will sit and they might have been used to going to church and just sitting through and maybe sleeping through and just whatever, just paying their tribute. But when they come to the church and they hear a Bible message, somebody is actually preaching the very words of God. And when you're preaching the words of God, you have the power of God behind the preaching of the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God that brings conviction into the lives of those that are living in sin. And when they're in the service and they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and connected to the preaching of the Word of God is the conviction of the Spirit of God, and they come under this conviction and they realize there's something different about this place. Amen. But they're still not ready to acknowledge God for who He is. And so they don't make a decision, they don't make a move, and they walk out the doors and they think, "That was just a coincidence that preacher preached on what I'm doing. I don't know what that was that come over me in there. I don't know why I had this conviction. I don't know why I had a desire, some kind of a struggle, a pull to go forward."
Can you imagine that going forward in a church service in front of all those people and going to an altar? I can't believe that. But I don't. And they get out of here and they just put up a wall concerning what God tried to help them to see. I'm real. And that man's preaching my word. And you're under conviction of my Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And they'll walk out, and because they rejected it and because they walked out, then they'll make up some kind of an excuse for what happened to them, why they felt the way they did. And in their minds, they're thinking, I'm not going back there. Because they're not ready to change. They don't want the truth. Well, they want religion and they want a trophy God. Amen. They want a genie for a God and to bring out on their time frame. To bring out when they want him brought out. Only to work when they want him to work. Philistine mentality. They didn't want to believe in the God of Israel. Because in their minds they thought, those Israelites, they're kind of peculiar people. They don't live the same way we live. They don't drink, and they don't smoke, and they don't even watch what kind of language they use. They look different, they act different. That's not what I'm looking to be like. We like our lifestyle. So, no, just a coincidence. It's just, must have been an earthquake last night. Caused Dagon to fall over. Let's put him back up. He'll be fine. Well, God made it crystal clear. Look at verse 4. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. Before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. God made it perfectly clear. Now they are accountable. They know this is the only true God. But they still didn't want to change. They continued to just live the same old way. But it was different now. They wanted to continue to live in their sin after coming under the conviction of their sin and rejecting God. And yet God was still in their presence. You know what's going to happen? If you have God in your presence and you continue to live in sin, judgment. You'd be better off never to come under conviction. You'd be better off not to know the truth than to have an opportunity to know the truth and reject the truth. And so, yes, they began to be judged by God. Look verse 5 down to verse 7. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon. You see, they felt sorry for their God, and so they actually, because of Dagon losing his head and his palms, they make a tribute to Dagon. And so they say, all right, we don't know, we did this to him. We brought this other God in. We did this to him. So let's now make a memorial to Dagon. And from now on, no one steps on the threshold. We'll acknowledge our fault in doing this to Dagon. And so from now on, this we're going to step over the threshold. We won't even step on, just to appease our God, Dagon. Therefore, they rejected God once again. And so the Bible goes on to say, and the hand of the Lord was heavy, verse 6. The hand of the Lord was heavy upon Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods or tumors. Possibly hard boils, but That's what that means there. That means tumor. The emrods are tumors. Even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of God of Israel shall not abide with us,
For his hand is sore upon us and upon our Dagon, our God. They acknowledge the fact that God was judging them. And yet they still won't turn to God. They still won't give up on their lifestyle. They won't give up on how they want to worship and their idolatry, their idol worship. Even though God has revealed himself, now they're being judged by God because the Philistines were known to be very immoral people. All the enemies of Israel in the Old Testament, they were enemies because of their lifestyle. The gods that they worshipped were immoral gods, and they led to immorality. They led to burning their children and sacrificing their own children to these gods and living ways that would bring the judgment of God upon their lives. God would not judge them at that time, but when his presence is there, when the presence of God is there and there is sin in his presence, God will judge that sin. The presence of God will bring judgment upon an ungodly lifestyle. Yeah. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. You see, if you're saved here this morning, can I tell you, you have the presence of God in you? You have the presence of God in you. Now, you have to believe in God and accept God, Jesus Christ, your Savior, to have this. But if you have received Christ as your Savior and he dwells within you, you have the presence of God. Just as the Philistines had the presence of God there in their land. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, you'd be better off in this life not to have been saved, to have the presence of God if you're going to continue to live a sinful lifestyle. As if nobody knows. God knows. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The temple means that it houses the Spirit of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You have his presence. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If the presence of God... If you have the presence of God, you cannot continue to live an ungodly, immoral lifestyle without the judgment of God upon your life. No matter how many times you go to church. No matter how many times you bow down to Dagon. Because God says, I will not allow that in my presence. So they began to be judged. So what'd they do? Repent and ask God to forgive them, to start living a godly lifestyle? Start worshiping the true God? No. What'd they do? They sought counsel. Who'd they seek counsel from? A God-fearing, God-loving, man of God? No. Counsel from another Philistine. Because they wanted to counsel somebody that believed like they believed, thought like they thought. I don't think you're going to get that right kind of counsel. You'll get the counsel you're looking for, but not the godly counsel that you need. Look at verse 8. They sent therefore and gathered all the Lord's... This is Philistine mentality. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, who all believed in idol worship, who would rather worship an idol because they could control an idol. They built the idol. They named the idol. It was their trophy. Their idols worked for them. And said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. That's Philistine mentality counsel. It's not your fault. Send it away. Don't let it change who you are. You're a Philistine. Dagon is your God. You've got all these problems because you've had this influence of God in your life. And so what another Philistine counselor is going to say is just get rid of that influence of God in your life. Send it away.
If this is truly the real thing, if this is truly God and His will for my life, why not yield to it? If you know this to be the real truth, and this is God's will for your life, and He is the Almighty Creator God, why seek to pass it on and to get rid of that influence and hold on to what you want to believe? That makes sense to me, but yet people do it every day.
No, I'm of this religion, and I've got this faith, and this is who I am. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what's going on here. This is who I am. I'm a Philistine. I worship Dagon.
Even if you know that Dagon's really not a god, and the true God has given you an opportunity to know Him. No, I'm not going to change, so I'm going to get rid of this influence and pass it on. Well, the Philistine mentality. Block out the conviction. Stay away from it. Send it to somebody else. They sent it to Gath. What happened? The people of Gath experienced the very same thing. Because now they have the presence of God and they're not looking to change their lifestyle. And God judges them. That's worldly counseling is when you go to them, it's all right, it's not your fault, somebody else did it to you. Go ahead and get upset with that person. Pass all the blame and guilt to them. And then what does that happen? When you pass all the blame and guilt to that person, it destroys that person. The mentality and the humanistic philosophy of counseling is just let it out. Don't care who you hurt. Just go tell them what you think of them. And they go to their parents and they say, it's all your fault. It's because you forced me to go to church and you did this and you did this. And they walk away and say, well, that feels better. And they've just destroyed somebody else. Is that really God? And then they'll go to a worldly counselor and they'll say, well, now you've got somebody you can blame. And so you blame it on them and pass it off to somebody else. Never stopping to think, it's God's conviction on my life. It's my fault. They are my sins. And God would have you to confess that sin, repent of that sin, and have a desire to do right.
Amen. That's good.
The God of Israel will help you if you'll do that. But no, he's not. My God serves me. And so I'm just going to pass that conviction on to somebody else. Well, it went to Gath. The judgment came upon Gath. Then it went to Ekron. Just kept passing it on. And everywhere it went, it brought judgment because they were not ready to accept the God of Israel. It didn't work. They just kept passing it on. They finally decided to appease God and send it back to Israel. Now this is the end. This is the end. Look at chapter 6. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines. Only 7 months. What a havoc it brought into the... Because they didn't want it. They thought it was a trophy. God is not a trophy. He's not a genie. He is a creator God. The Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, what shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to its place. Verse 5. Wherefore you shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and you shall give glory unto the Lord God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. They finally decided, this Philistine mentality, to appease God. God will not judge me if I just do some good deeds. God will not judge me. This Philistine mentality, just send it back with an offering. People would much rather feel like that they can be right with God and appease God by just writing a check. Or maybe doing something good, doing some good works. Surely if I just offset my evil deeds with some good deeds, in the end, God's going to weigh the balance. And as long as I have more good deeds than evil deeds, surely I'm going to be all right with God. If it's a day gone, you would be. Because that's you controlling it. But our God's not day gone. In closing, Ephesians in chapter 2. Philistine mentality. Let's just offset our bad deeds with some good deeds. Surely God will accept us. You see, you might get rid of the conviction by doing some good deeds, thinking you're appeasing God. But good deeds will not keep you from an eternal judgment. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." It's what God offers when you look to Him and acknowledge Him for who He is. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Really, as I read that story and God gave me that message to preach this morning, I felt sorry for him. You had the opportunity. You had the very presence, the opportunity God had given you. You don't find that anywhere else in the Old Testament. God's presence. Giving them an opportunity to truly know God. But they'd have to turn away from Dagon. And they refused. And they held on even after they knew that the God of Israel was the true God. But they refused to give up control of their wills. Let's not have that Philistine mentality. Let's take advantage of the opportunity God has given us to know Him and to serve Him. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The Philistine mentality is very prevalent in our day and age today. But the Word of God is still clear. The Word of God is here to help us to know who the true God is. And what He expects of us. And what we have to do to have His blessings instead of His judgment. What's your mentality this morning? What is your mentality concerning God? Our Father and our God, as we bow before You, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in church this morning. Thank You for Your presence in this place, for this precious Bible that You have preserved for us to read and to study and to hear preached. And I pray, God, as we have preached this passage of Scripture and brought out these truths, that these principles would be accepted in our own hearts and our lives. And God, we would not choose a religion or a God that serves us. God, help us to choose the true God who's given us an opportunity to serve Him. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.